Hello and welcome to the Eye on the U podcast, the Miami Herald's Miami Hurricanes podcast. I'm David Wilson. I'm joined, as always, on the other line by Susan Miller Degnan, our Hurricanes beat writer here at the Herald. Susan, what's going on?
Practice and more practice.
Yeah, have you stopped sweating since our long day out on Green Tree practice fields today?
Yeah, long day with no hydration. We'll know better next time.
Yeah, we got a it wound up being a pretty eventful day down in Coral Gables. We're recording this on Thursday evening. It was Miami's first fully padded practice today. They'd been in shells kind of the last couple of days, right? Shoulder pads, yep. Helmets. They also had a lot of alumni out there, including Gino Toretta, Vernon Carey, Jeremy Shockey. And they surprised us in the morning by saying, hey, you guys get to watch this whole practice, and made this episode a lot easier to do because we've got real things to talk about today, because we actually really, got to figure out some stuff about this team and not just get spin from the team or agendas from sources giving us spin. So, definitely the most insightful day of practice we have had here to wrap up week one.
Oh, for sure. It was long and hot and fun, because we got to see a lot of things, all different position groups, and we saw the kids really, really hyped up, a lot of contact, although they didn't bring people on the ground because they're getting ready for the right. Scrimmage. We'll talk about that, but it still was a lot of hard hitting, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it was. There were some crunching hits, like on throws over the middle or to the sideline or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you mentioned it. We're gonna kind of run through. I don't know if superlatives, just a bunch of categories we've got of observations from the first week of camp. Yep. But big picture, you before we started recording, we were just talking about some of the stuff we were gonna talk about.
Yep.
And you made a point, like the energy. We saw a full practice today, so we saw them keep up their energy through an entire practice, right? Usually we see about four periods, and they're fresh then, right? They're coming right out of the locker room. They're not sweating all over themselves quite yet. But we saw what a practice looked like 2 hours in today. And they, like, again, it was practice six today, so you would hope they're not like dogging it yet. But kind of full energy throughout. You didn't see a lot of very much loafing there. No cramping that I could remember seeing at all.
No cramping, which was really heartening, because it was very
really hot.
Hot.
Yeah, the hottest one of the hottest days of the year down in Coral Gables, it felt like, at least.
Yeah, we say that every practice.
I know.
But yeah, it was. They were really, really energetic, nonstop. I mean, they were. You noticed when these guys ran plays, even when the play was over, most of the guys on offense just kept running and running and running. They just went all the way through to the goal line, all the way. I mean, it. And Mario wants that. These coaches are kind of demanding that. So, I saw one time a freshman receiver caught a ball and looked, you're like, oh, wow, good catch. And then all of a sudden he stopped running, which is, almost like, okay, the play's over.
Right.
I'll start just a little jogging. I can go back, and boom, the defender slapped the ball out of his hands. You can't do that in this regime, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not. Any other kind of big takeaways from just, obviously, a lot of the cliches we've been fed so far seem to be real, right, about the intensity of practice, the pace of practice, right? There's not a whole lot of wasted time there, which is stuff we saw in the spring, too. But it's carried over into these early days of fall camp as well.
Yeah, the we said it was alumni day, right?
Yep.
So lots of guys, which really I think that's why they made it open to us too. It was I think they like the old school feel because it used to be, years and years and years ago, everything was open. It was pretty cool. And there were a lot of people on the sideline. We're kind of on the end line, end zone kind of thing. And they were lined up and down the field, the former players. And it was really nice. There was a lot of energy on the sideline too. I mean, are we going to the position groups here? Big picture about quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think our biggest, one of the things we had here was just we're running through some top performers from camp so far. And again, this is with the major caveat that we have seen, basically, we typically see about 40 minutes of practice, if that, 30 minutes
Sure.
of
That,
practice.
yeah, 30 maybe something.
And
Yeah.
it's never, we're always basically ushered out right when 7-on-7 stuff kind of gets started. So we see individual drills. Today was the exception. We saw practice all the way throughout.
Yeah.
But the, I mean, and it's not surprising considering this guy is thought to be one of the best in the country at his position. But the quarterback group, continues to be really, really impressive. Although a couple interceptions today, but
Yes.
that you expect that in a, in a practice,
Yeah,
obviously.
there were, well,
But
yeah.
across the board, the quarterbacks have been definitely a bright spot for this team, and feel like they are going to be. As it wound up being really the last 2 years of Derek 2 years ago, and then Tyler taking over for Derek after the injury last year. Quarterback is the strength of this team, and you can feel it because obviously Tyler is great. Jake, although he did not have his best day today, is well, pretty much every other practice we've seen him has looked kind of right there with Tyler. And Jakari Brown is, I think has looked very impressive too, and I thought had a really good day today.
Yes, he did. Ja'Cory, other than the first day last Friday, I guess, he's gotten substantially better. He is good. And Tyler, I think they all had picks today, right? I think Tyler might add one, and I think Jake, we said, had
Jake had a
two,
couple, yeah.
had a couple, and then and Ja'Cory, I think, had one. But like you told me, it's a lot different from a game. I mean, the interceptions, you kind of want the defense to look good
Yeah, like
too.
we're gonna when we talk about some of the other standout performers. We're going to
Right.
talk about a guy who had one of those interceptions. So
Yep.
like, it's a weird situation, but
Yeah,
like,
I mean, you want the defense to look good,
yeah.
for sure. So, I mean, the quarterbacks are great, and should we go through some of the other
Yeah,
guys?
well, I will say, I just want to say, I think Tyler has been the top performer in camp so far. I think just like, and maybe it's like bias because we know how good he was in games last year, but like
Right.
the way he like
Just
leads the quarterbacks through
up.
drills and just the types of throws he makes, the deep throws he makes, he's very accurate on those deep balls, obviously, as we all know from watching last year. Like
Yeah,
he's the guy. Like he's,
he's a guy, and you could see it in his presence.
yeah,
I
exactly.
mean, he's very focused, very serious. Everybody looks to him. He's he and we're going to talk about Xavier
Yeah,
Restrepo.
that's kind of probably he'd be the other candidate, I would say, for the top performer through camp so far. It's kind of hard to separate Tyler from Restrepo when you talk about them because, I mean, Restrepo is very, they're I don't know if they still are, but they definitely were roommates at one point. They're very close, and that chemistry carries over the field where
For
Xavier
sure.
Restrepo is clearly Tyler Van Dyke's favorite target.
Oh, without a doubt. And they are very close. And I mean, there was that one day in camp. I don't know, first day maybe, second day, whatever. I didn't mean to. I posted a video. It's hard to see. They're like off in the distance, and Xavier missed. He dropped, the ball bounced off his hands early in camp. People were going nuts. Well, I mean, there's always the first day there were a lot of drops. The first day of camp, there were a lot of drops.
Yeah.
I mean, which is not good, but it somehow in the last several years, you've seen that, you know, and more than just the first day. But they've totally improved, and Restrepo is he's been like lights out since, at least from what I've seen. This guy, you know, soars in the air, he dives on the ground, he goes parallel, he goes whatever it is. He does whatever it takes. He like puts his whole body into everything, doesn't it? You can hear it. You can hear it when he catches it.
Yeah, he's the guy who's like on the ground more than anyone else. And that's been the case. Honestly, it's been the case since the day he stepped on campus. He has been an undeniable like practice hero, basically.
Yeah, he
And
was.
sometimes those
Yeah.
guys don't translate in the games, but we've seen it translate for him already. So he's a hundred he goes at what the same speed in practice and in games. And that doesn't mean that he's going slow in games. It means he's going real, real fast in
Oh
practice.
yeah, and again, like the coaches love that. And Van Dijk, I'm telling you, I mean Restrepo, like after that one, we talked to him after he missed that one ball, and he said he just goes to the jugs machine. Then I mean Tyler's gonna, no matter what, Tyler's gonna will it. Tyler is throwing him the ball, and that's it. And usually they're hard line drives, you know. He comes out of the slot, and he gets the ball. So that's an important top performer, by the way.
I mean, we're gonna talk. I'll save some more wide receiver talk for a little later. One other guy I wanted to shout out, just because I thought he was awesome today, was Elijah Arroyo. Will Mallory was in a red non-contact jersey for the second half of practice. Still did a lot. He did some 7-on-7 stuff. No 11-on-11. Oh, that meant a lot of Elijah Arroyo. He made a one-handed catch at one point. He ran a nasty route in the middle of the field, totally like shook Avante Williams, who has been one of the better defensive performers in camp. So he looks like he's due for a. I mean, obviously, people had really high hopes for him last year. Will had obviously flashed in spots here and there, but he seems very much ready to take that leap to be the classic, like. To give Miami that classic two-headed tight end monster that they always like to have.
For sure, that's going to be I think, a big part of their game
Yeah, we
plan
saw, I
this
think when
year.
they started 11-on-11 today, the first pat like the starting 11 they had on offense, I'm pretty sure it was a two tight end set with Arroyo and Khalil Brantley. So yeah, they're gonna run a lot of two tight ends, especially because wide again, I don't want to step too much on our wide receiver conversation, but there's still some question marks there, I would say.
For sure. I love that they're going to play two tight ends.
Yeah, I think they've got the personnel to do it too, because I guess this transitions us right into our pleasant surprises, because one of the pleasant surprises of camp has been Khalil Brantley. At least today he was. Again, with Will Mallory out, it meant a lot of Khalil Brantley in like running with the ones, and he made plays, and he seems to kind of always make plays whenever he's out. Like, it doesn't matter what group he's with, whether he's running with the backups. Even last year, when the freshmen kind of always run together as the threes, basically. He looks like a guy who is. Yeah, I don't. Again, they have two really good tight ends ahead of him, so how much is he really going to play? He's probably not going to have more than like a dozen catches or something, right? It's just there's not the targets to go around, but he's got a role, it seems like, in this offense. He's a little smaller, kind of like an H-back type. He was a wide receiver for a long time in high school. But yeah, I've liked what I've seen from him.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's kind of evident that the coaches like him also. We saw him a lot today.
And the old staff loved him too. He's got that personality where he's like kind of a rally the troops kind of guy.
But you almost thought, you weren't sure when he came in, you know, you wondered what his role would be. And I think it's going to be, you wonder how significant, you know, a contributor he was going to be. And I think he will be. He's still young. He's a redshirt freshman, and he's a bright kid. And I like him a lot, and I'm pushing for Khalil.
Yeah, they've got a thing, we're like Mallory and Arroyo. Mallory's the big guy. Arroyo's like the little bit shorter, like H-back type, right? And they're kind of have, I mean, they got a lot of tight ends coming in next year, so it'll change things. But They kind of have Skinner and Brantley. Skinner, who's huge in terms of height and length, and then Brantley, who's a little bit smaller, H-back kind of guy. They've kind of got like the current iteration. You can see the future version of it too, right behind them on the depth chart. Any other surprises who have stood out to you? We've got a lot written down here,
Yeah,
so.
well, we have a lot. I mean, I think Thaddeus Franklin, running back. I don't. I.
Yeah, he's slimmed down a little bit, and he's just moving better. You can tell.
I don't think he's going to be the forgotten
No.
man, especially with Josh Gattis liking to play a lot of, running backs, and but he's still pretty thick and stuff. But that kid, whenever he touches a ball, he gets a lot of yards. I know he didn't touch the ball that much, but he like came through every time. So yeah, he's one. Also, you had mentioned, and I mentioned DJ Ivy, cornerback.
Yep.
He's been around for a long time already. But he
He's
was
had
he
his ups and
was
downs, and
yep.
he's a guy who feels like Miami fans are always bagging on a little bit. And it's deserved sometimes, but you can tell
Yeah.
this new coaching staff likes him because he's out there all the time with the ones.
And he always looks the part, right?
Yeah, got good
Oh,
long
it's like,
arms.
yeah, very long arms sometimes, and he seems kind of strong. And sometimes during games, there have been some, like, missed assignments or whatever.
Yeah.
But so another one we said, Justice Oluwaseun. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Oluwaseun.
Although was shown, yeah.
Oluwaseun, yeah. He's been playing right guard, and it looks like he's well,
You wrote about him last week, right? He's
yeah,
squatting 700 pounds,
he's a
like.
spotter, the 700-pound spotter, very, very intelligent kid. And he'll do a good amount of playing, let's put it that way. I mean, right now he's starting, but then again, like you mentioned, Zion Nelson, who's rehabbing that knee, when he comes back,
Shuffle again.
things show, but he's definitely a guard. So yeah, he looked good. What who
Yeah, and
else?
he
Who
played a
else?
lot. Remember, he like played some tackle last year. Like, he's a
Yes,
guy with experience. It's
he
not
did
like he's
play
just like a.
tackle, you're right.
It's not just like he's like his total, like, where did this guy come from? Like, is this just a. They played him a lot last year, and he
Yeah, he
was
played a lot of
reliable.
tackle, actually.
Yeah, and he was reliable for them last year, so.
Yeah.
I trust that he's going to be a contributor. Yeah, I feel like he's got a good shot to start, I think. A lot of it, though, will depend on another guy who's on this surprise list and that pleasant surprise list. And that's John Campbell, who, with Zion Nelson out, has kind of been the left tackle. We've seen Jalen Rivers in there a little bit as well, but I think the plan seems to be for Rivers to be the left guard.
Yep.
With Zion Nelson as the left tackle, obviously they want guys, as many guys as possible, to be workable at key positions like that. I mean, last week, Mario Cristobal was basically, we think John Campbell could be one of the best linemen in the country, which
I don't know.
he's a,
I okay, whatever.
I, yeah, but again, like, I don't know about
Maybe.
that, but it speaks to how, he's a guy who's not, he was hurt all last year. He just has not played a lot. It speaks to the level of, I guess, confidence they have in him to at least play and play a, like a role.
It does. It's got to be
It's
tough.
hyperbole. It's definitely hyperbole, but
Yeah, I mean,
still.
he's a big, big dude, but it's got to be tough when you've missed a year.
Yeah.
That's all. It's when you have not played in a game a year. That's tough, because it's a hell of a lot different, right? When you're playing offensive line in the actual game, it's yeah. I mean, it's different for everybody, but I mean, we've seen that big bodies are big bodies, but then, we'll see what happens. They have a lot of faith in them, so yeah. And they need more offensive linemen get injured, just like it seems, and just like running backs and stuff, you just need a lot of them. So we'll see what happens there. But yes, definitely. a quote unquote pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Leonard Taylor, another one who, I mean, I think, people expect him to be one of the best defensive linemen in the country at some point here. The only reason I put him on this list is because, like, feels like no one's talking about him. I'm sure Miami fans on the message boards and on Twitter are tweeting about him and as like he's part of the core. But like, I don't know,
Right.
has Mario like mentioned his name once? Like, has Kevin Steele mentioned his name? It just feels like we're not getting a lot of chatter about him. We have not talked to him yet,
No.
which, could mean nothing, but usually
Or it
when
could mean
the start or
something.
it could mean something,
Yeah.
right?
Yes. Yes. But with Mario as chef.
Everything is planned out a little bit, right?
Yeah,
So,
I think he, yeah, I
but the again, and I don't, I wrote, I did like our observations post today, and I made a very big point of like, do not read too much into the starting lineups and stuff. This is just kind of an indication of who's in the mix rather than who's the favorite, I'd say at this point. But Leonard Taylor was in with when they started 11-on-11, he was the first defensive tackle out on the field. So,
Right.
with the level of talent we know he has, and then typically stuff like that is based on, right, like practice performance, weight room performance, like this early in camp, it's a lot of time based on what you're doing behind the scenes more than like who they expect to start. I think it all combines to be like a really positive sign for Leonard Taylor.
Yeah. We'll agree with that. I think it's everything too with Mario. I think it's also classroom
Yeah, right.
because
But what
every
I'm saying is it's not just like they're putting the most talented guy out there. They're
Right.
taking behind the scenes stuff into account.
Yes.
And with Leonard Taylor, I mean, he was pretty open last year about like he's still grasping the playbook, all that kind of stuff. It seems like a po very positive sign for a guy who has all the talent in the world and is, still learning how to be a college football player, or at least was a year ago.
Yep. You do hear the word freak with him.
Yeah, he's a monster.
So, yeah.
Gilbert Fryer's not someone I put on this list, but he's another one who, speaking of like some of the old guys like DJ Ivy, feels like a lot of these like kind of older class of 18, like this 5th year seniors and stuff like that, who have had like up and down careers. Even some of the like Tecori Couch is another one who seems the staff seems to be high on, like fresh start, right, with a new coach. And Frierson, who was a really big contributor early in his career and then kind of got shuffled into a reserve role last year when Amari Carter moved to striker. He seems to be the guy at their star position, which is basically the new version of the striker, the hybrid linebacker safety spot.
And Gilbert's always been one of my favorites because he has I love his attitude.
Yeah.
I love it. Gilbert is totally old school Kane to me.
Yeah.
He loves his team. He loves his teammates. And I was telling you before that it almost feels like he was a little bit forgotten last year. Right? He didn't, sometimes he didn't play, he wasn't playing. And I was thinking, what's going on with Gilbert? And he never, whatever we did talk to him or whenever he did play, he seemed like he still had the same energy and the same positivity or whatever the word is. I mean, he still was that rah-rah guy, a lot of heart. And I think he's a really good talent. He plays very, very hard. I said he's the pride of Coconut Grove.
Yeah.
And
I
I
mean,
wasn't sure if Manny appreciate. I don't know how much Manny appreciated him. I'm not sure, but it seems this year it's turning again for him. And tell me when I can describe the
yeah,
final.
well, your favorite play of the day, right?
Yeah,
Is the Gilbert Frierson
probably
play.
everybody's.
Yeah. The
I
la it
want
was
to.
the last it was the last play of the day
It was
too,
the
right?
last play that I was like, was this rehearsed or what? No. So Gilbert Frierson makes a right hand with his right hand, comes down with a one-handed pick interception. He went berserk and the whole place went crazy. And he was so old school. I mean, it was fantastic. And that had to be everybody's favorite. He started like, what was it, like really high
Yeah,
step,
like high
slow
step
mo,
in, and everyone
slow
mobbed
motion.
him, obviously.
Yeah, slow motion. He was doing stuff with his arm, slow motion, like taking the big, all that strides, like in rhythm, like, and they were all going crazy, the whole team around him. And it was just like, it was a lot of old Kane's, God, I don't want to say the word that begins with an S, but it was a lot of.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Can I say the word swag?
Yeah, I mean, he's got it, right? Like, you got to back it up on the field, but he's definitely got that attitude.
I mean, but yeah, but it was really refreshing because he made a great play. That play deserved to be treated like that. And what a perfect time to end the day with all the alums there and all that. It was really, really, really nice. And it made me think of memories of the old Canes and the old Canes actually that were really good and got hyped up because they were good, not some of the former, some of the teams after the really good ones, David. You went some years past, but not a ton of years. They still would act, you know,
right.
I don't mean to go out of tangent, but some of those teams were embarrassing to me, some of the things they did, because sometimes they'd go a couple times, you know, in the middle of the field with, let's say they're on the road, the other team's logo, right? And they would start kind of taunting and saying,
yeah,
stuff.
I mean, I think it's right. People who have a problem with the turnover chain would feel the same way, right? Like,
yeah, no, but it was embarrassing. All, not because they couldn't back it up. They weren't that good. So they'd go on the, it was embarrassing. They'd go on the, a few times on the logo and start like kicking it or whatever the heck they did. And like going right up face to face with the other players before the game started. It was just, I'm just telling you that happened for a few years, a couple of years. And it was embarrassing because they weren't that good, to say the least. That's all. So Gilbert doing that was the right time to do it.
Right. Exactly. All right, let's move on to some of the newcomers of this group. That's been definitely one of the biggest story. It always is. But a lot of times it's like we're just interested in the new freshmen. But one of the biggest stories of this season, frankly, is going to be the influx of transfers Miami has had on the defensive line. We saw, I guess there's one of them technically in the spring, Jake Lichtenstein. We did not see Antonio Moultrie was on campus but was hurt, so we didn't really see him. But so now we've got Moultrie on the mix. You got Akeem Mezador in the mix. Daryl Jackson Jr. from Maryland in the mix. I feel like I'm missing one more. Oh, Mitchell Laguda. Mitchell Laguda in
Mitchell,
the mix also.
Yeah, Mitchell.
And that has been the kind of the next topic we had here was the most impressive newcomers. And it's like that whole group basically, because you know, we're still seeing a lot of Jafari Harvey. It seems like he's in really good shape to start. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of Chance Williams. Also seems like he is in, you know, in contention for a starting job. Like I said, Leonard Taylor, we saw Jared Harrison Hunt is another guy who's just kind of flown under the radar. But like then you've also like they've got this whole second wave of transfer guys who could all easily start for this team, it seems like.
For sure. Did they have we haven't talked to Jared, have we, Harrison Hunt? I don't think we have. But maybe. I don't know, maybe once. But yeah, this defensive line, that's gonna be a big difference this year, I think.
Yeah. Well, it has to be, right? Like, who knows, but it has to be.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be. I do. I get that. I mean, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Who knows how many sacks are going to be, but I feel much more confident that they're going to be a lot better this year.
Yeah, they've at least got like 9-10 guys to choose from, right? Where last year, I mentioned those four who were with the ones today to start. Then you got the five transfers. You got Jordan Miller. Like, they've got legitimately 10 guys who it seems like they trust in various capacities.
And you know what? I do believe Kevin Steele, the defensive coordinator, he is adamant that he is going to rotate guys. He really wants to have a rotation. And yeah, just keep it going. And I'm telling you, that's what they used to do. They did used to do that many years ago. They were just so damn good on the defensive line, and they just keep rotating the guys. And the linemen, again, not just offensive line, defensive line, they get hurt. And so it's important. And I just feel confident, even though a lot of those guys are transfers, that they're going to be really good. Even seeing Jake Lichtenstein in the spring game.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, he's not been super noticeable to me in camp. And now, again, we don't get a good look at the linemen usually because they're wearing the other side of the field. But we know he's kind of a proven commodity because we saw what he did in the spring game where he was maybe the best guy on the field for the defense.
And he's big, too.
Yeah.
I mean, all those guys.
And accomplished, like he was good at USC.
Yeah, and accomplished, smart. Yeah, I'm very impressed with the D-line. So who else do you have there? We have some other young ones.
One other transfer, Daryl Porter, who had an interception today.
Yep.
They seem to be kind of, at most positions, it feels like they kind of are letting the guys who were around, like, I'm thinking of who ran with the ones to start camp today. It was, for the most part, guys who were on the team last year. But Daryl Porter seems like he's clearly every team needs at least four corners, and he's going to be one of those four guys. Clearly, it seems like. And like I said, had an interception today. Plays bigger, like you said, than his 5'10 frame, it seems like.
Yes, it does. I'm pretty convinced that Mario's going to Mario has kind of a mix. He's like a mix of experience and if you've been around, he values that. That's important, but not like just because you're a senior or you've been a team leader, you're going to start. I really think they're going to put the best guys on the field, but like you said, they're taking everything into account.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, the whole holistic thing, not everything.
Yeah. As for the freshmen, we just haven't seen enough from any of them. And there's no one who's, I think, clearly going to like start or contribute. Obviously, freshmen tend to emerge as the season goes on. I'll say Trevante Citizen, who's been kind of like the most hyped, I would say, like around the program, it feels like. Looks the part. He's huge for a freshman running back. Like, he already looks like a junior or senior, like ready to go to the NFL in terms of like his size.
Yeah, I mean, he does. We'll see. Ready. Yeah. Okay. We're still gonna do some more, right? About questions and stuff.
Yeah. You got any other freshmen? Wesley Bissaint. We keep hearing good things, but haven't seen a lot.
Wesley Bissaint. I just had. I mean, we haven't talked to him. We talked to him in the spring.
Right.
And he looked like a baby cane that was like a man.
Yeah.
He did. But he was in the car accident. I think he hurt his foot. And I'm not really sure totally We haven't talked to him really how he is.
All right, so let's wrap things up with again, sort of a big picture look. I got two big questions that I wanted to close out here with. One, we're through a week of training camp now. What do you feel better about today than when camp started?
The defense. The defense as a whole. The front seven.
Yeah. Namely the defensive line with all those new guys in there.
Yes, I should say that for sure. Yes. Actually, let's just make it the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, feel a lot better about that. And just because they're going to be, I think they're going to be better. That's going to help the linebackers. So, that's what I would say. How about you?
Yeah, I'd say the defense, the front seven, because again, we're going to talk about linebackers, a question mark, I'm sure, still too. But I think just adding Caleb Johnson, even though we have not seen a whole lot from him yet, in terms of like pushing the top group, it's clearly like that level of competition is improved. And I kind of just trust Charlie Strong. I don't know if that's the right thing. I don't know how much a position coach can transform a group, but I kind of just, they're talking about like some different ways they're being coached. And you know, the linebackers were just a mess last year. And I think a change of voice will go a long way with that position group too. So I agree with you on the defense, defensive line, certainly, but I kind of like the whole front seven. Like I was really like everyone, I was really concerned about linebacker and I still have big questions there, but like, I don't know, just hearing the way we talked to Corey Flagg the other day and Wayman Steed today and just knowing Charlie Strong's resume, and hearing the way they talk about him and the way he coaches, I feel a little bit better about that group right now than I did a week ago.
Yeah, I do too, obviously.
But the defensive line is definitely like the reason for
I'm still changing thoughts
about this defense.
I agree with you on the linebackers, by the way. I mean, they're all, you got to hope they're all going to be better.
Right,
I mean, Corey Flagg should be better. All of them. They have better coaching and supposedly. And I mean, Wayman Steed he's like 1,000 years old already.
Yeah.
He's you know, he's got to be better. And I don't know about, you know, Caleb Johnson, like you said, he had great stats, but I don't know.
Yeah, we just haven't seen a lot of him yet.
Yeah, because I guess he was behind a little, so he's getting extra help. That would be – that's kind of an obvious, right?
Yeah. And that would be an obvious – the other big question I had is, what do you still have questions about? And linebackers is certainly still a fair one. To me, though, it's the wide receivers.
Great.
I think both of us feel really good about Xavier Restrepo. Like, I don't know what kind of odds you get on this, but, like – I don't know, feels pretty much, unless he gets hurt, like pretty close to a lock to lead this team in catches. But everything around him and Will Mallory, like, I guess we should include Will Mallory when we're talking about wide receivers a little bit, because he's going to be, you know, he'll be right up there in the team leading catches. You know, he'll catch a lot of touchdowns, obviously, but
right.
The outside wide receiver spot is just like, they've got some guys, some interesting guys, but I don't know, you would have liked to see someone step up in the spring and that didn't happen. And, you know, getting to see a full practice today, again, guys are flashing here and there, but you're not seeing that one, like, guy who's clearly, like, the dominant wide receiver. Like at all these really good Ohio State, Alabama, like, you watch, I'm sure they can watch a practice and be like, oh, Jackson Smith and Jigba is, like, a superstar. And Miami, they don't have a wide receiver like that. And a guy like that goes a long way. We saw it with Charleston Rambo last year.
Exactly. I think I'm rooting for Keyshawn Smith. I think he's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of kids that can make some cool catches, some really good catches.
Yeah, Romello Brinson had an awesome. It didn't count. I guess nothing in practice, quote unquote, counts,
right.
But he was out of bounds on this one, but he made a ridiculous catch in the back of the end zone today. He's, like, I don't even know how to describe it. He twisted his body. in such a strange way to make it
and
happen.
And you know what's cool about that play? He got so mad.
I know that it was out of bounds.
Yeah, he was so mad. Oh my God. And I like that though. I like that. That was, yeah. He's really good. I know Jake Garcia really thinks highly. Yeah,
he's a little skinny still. I would have liked him to get a little bigger. I mean, he's never going to be huge. Like, he just doesn't have the frame for it. But
right.
Yeah, I like him. Michael Redding, I mentioned him on Pleasant Surprises.
Yes.
He was out there. He was hurt last year, missed most of the year. I can't remember exactly what his injury was. But, I mean, he was right up there with the ones today. And I can honestly, I can't remember that ever happening in the past with him where he was like pushing that top group necessarily. So at least early in camp, he seems to be doing well. And Keyshawn Smith today said he knows the playbook better than anyone, even though he's a guy who is not, I mean, obviously everyone's, I guess, new in this offensive system, but he's a really smart kid. I remember like wanting to be an aerospace engineer. I'm not sure if he's still doing that because it's hard to balance football with aerospace engineering classes, I would think. But like a really smart kid, and with a new coach where everyone's learning a new system, that could go a long way if he's just more advanced than everyone by the start of the year.
Yeah, we're looking. I think everybody's looking for somebody who's, you say that kid cannot come off the field,
right?
And
yeah,
that's it. And there's some really good ones, and there's some guys that make some incredible catches, but it's like, yeah.
It's very similar to the situation the defensive ends had last year, where in 2020, Miami had Quincy Roche and Jalen Phillips as the two defensive ends. And both of those guys played like 90+ percent of the snaps.
Yep.
And that was awesome for that year because Jalen Phillips was an All-American. Quincy Roche was an All-Conference guy. Both guys are in the NFL now. It was as good a defensive end tandem as Miami had in a really long time, and it made the defense pretty good. But then you felt the effects of that in 2021 when Miami all year, like, they just couldn't find. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jafari Harvey was kind of the most consistent, I guess, but really, like, they really struggled to find defensive ends last year. And that's the concern with wide receivers. Last year, Mike Harley and Charleston Rambo, two record-setting wide receivers. I don't know the number of snaps they were on the field for, but it had to be upwards of like 80 to 85%. And it's a big gap. You're trying to find guys to fill not even those catches, but those snaps, like you said, guys who can't come off the field. And that's my one concern with the offenses. Are they going to be in the same spot as the defensive line was last year, where you're really trying to piece it together and that can only take you so far?
Yeah, I agree. And you know, this might sound crazy because all the fans are like, oh, we have the deepest running back core going.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see a dominant running back too.
Yeah, it seems like Jalen Knighton is like separated himself a little bit.
They're definitely playing Jalen. Yeah. He's definitely right now. He's the number one guy, you just want to see a guy that can really bulldoze also through, you know, get those yards and not be stopped very easily. I know Parrish is new here, and
yeah, well, just, and those guys are small. It. Like, it makes it harder, right? Like, Knighton and Parrish are both smaller running backs.
For
and
sure.
That makes it tough. Yeah, and then Don Chaney, sure, who's the bigger guy, has had so many injuries. He's clearly still catching up a little bit. You know, I don't see Thad being like that every down kind of guy, but maybe he can be. But that's why Trevante Citizen, I think, is so interesting because, again, obviously he's not going to be that this year, but he has the build and all that kind of stuff to be that kind of guy. Going forward in a year or two.
Are we gonna have headlines that say like true Vontae?
Well, I was thinking citizen puns.
Oh yeah, they'll be for sure.
He's Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane. You know, they once had a guy named
I'm sure someone's made that joke, right? But I don't think I've heard that. Citizen Kane.
Yeah, that's pretty good. They once had a guy named Kane, C-A-I-N.
Uh-huh. So he was Kane the Kane?
Well, his last name was Kane. Yeah, it was, I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure we wrote a few leads about that. But anyway, yeah. So running back is also another position that I just hope, I hope it improves. I hope their running game improves.
Yeah. Well, I think it will, just based on the, you know, and again, I'm a huge Rhett Lashley fan. I love watching his offenses play. Obviously, he put together one of the best Miami offenses of all time last year. But yeah, just the Gattis, they're going to have a better running game because that's what Josh Gattis does.
Yes. The
offense might be, the offense could be just as good, productive as the offense last year, and it could look totally different, which is what's kind of makes this season and this preseason and the build up to the season. Like, that's why I just kind of want to see it happen. Like, I'm done with the preseason. We're only a week in, but I want to see some games. I'm tired of, I'm tired of thinking about what this is going to look like. Cause it feels like we've been doing that since December. What did Mario get hired? December 5th. Feels like we've been doing it since then. Basically, I've been just wanting to see what this is actually going to look like when we get on the field.
Me too.
All right, let's wrap things up there. You can follow Susan on Twitter at S. Miller Degnan. She is out at Miami practice every day, pretty much. And we'll take every you all day. The way up into the season starts and well beyond. So you can keep up with her there. You can follow me on Twitter at DBWilson2. I'm also out there for the most part most days.
Yes, you are.
Was out there pretty much all week this week, although I'll miss, I guess you won't be there. Friday, we don't get to see practice, so not missing too much that day either. No,
but I'll be there because Friday, yeah, they have their first scrimmage. So.
On Saturday, yeah. So yeah,
this Saturday.
So, yeah, keep an eye on MiamiHerald.com, obviously, for coverage on that scrimmage as well.
That's closed.
Yes, it's closed, but still. You know, they'll put out some highlights or whatever. Anyway, thanks as always for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.